item 9, climate change strategy status. Mr. Manchin.
And Board members, this is also a follow-up item from our last board meeting, where the board gave staff direction to work more on what would the strategy be with all the good ideas we see to see, and how would be as both staff and the board proceed to work through all those wonderful ideas and get them to a point where we can implement them. So Doug has a short presentation to give you about a possible path forward, if you'd like to put your input.
Good morning. I'm Doug Smith, supervising geologist here in your South Lake Tahoe office, and I manage the planning and restoration division. I've got 9 slides, so that was one of them, so much less now. And I'm back here. I was here last in May, and at the board's direction, wanted us to come back with a draft strategy. And so what I will have here in front of you is a plan for that strategy, and I'm hoping to get feedback from you on this plan and more about the process rather than the technical content. I will provide some examples to give you an idea about the technical content that we'd like to work on over the next few months or so, but those are merely examples and to help guide sort of the conversation a little bit. All right. So these are the steps that we've come up with for developing this strategy for the board. And 6 simple steps, but they're very involved at each one of them. Obviously, the first step is really just the beginning, and we're just starting out on this first step, on scoping it. We've had 2 workshops, one in November 2014 in Barstow, and one in January of this year here over at the Lake Tahoe Community College, where we gathered lots of great input, ideas from the public, and we generated more than 400 great ideas, and those ideas really, as let me refresh your memory, those ideas identified some of the gaps that we have in our existing policies. Thank you, Steve. This is enclosure 1 of the item here, so you've got that on your own little one page. And the conceptual model that we came up with lists all the existing policies and tools that we have out there. Now, the ideas that we develop really are the issues. And the thing that we haven't done are establish the goals. Okay, and then once we have some goals, then we can work on step 2, which is drafting some actions to achieve those, and then have some targets and put in sort of a timeline there. And then, of course, we need to interact and reach out to the public, and we need to involve them and reach out to some partnering agencies to see what they are also doing, because we don't want to duplicate work. We want to work with them. We want to maximize all of our efficiencies on there. And then, of course, bring something back to the board to for a resolution or to work on. So this is going to take some time. And one of the most important parts is that we have an excellent staff on board that we really want to touch base with, and we need their input. And you guys have great input, too. And so we're trying to figure out the best way to do this. And one thing that worked really well was that SET policy that Mr. Taxer talked to you about when the board broke up into those sub-committees. And so we're thinking about the same sort of thing to work on this. So what possible subcommittees could we do? Well, those 400 ideas, we lumped them into three themes. Two of them could be lumped together into theme A, which is the watersheds, protecting and restoring them. And then the other one, we could lump the rest of those into theme B, which is the management of resources and facilities, dealing with the vital facilities, the infrastructure, and such. So these are some of those main ideas, three under each of those, that came out of those workshops and things that we heard at the board and some ideas that we gathered from staff, really in the preliminary stage. So remember that first step that I said, we got to identify the issues and then identify goals? Well, we haven't identified the goals yet. So let me just throw this out here. And what do those goals look like? So if you take those issues, okay, shrunk it down to size that you can't read, okay. Now, here's some possible goals. We can enhance the basin plan. Well, what does that do? Well, that's amending the basin plan, adding in prohibitions or something for floodplains. Who knows? We can require low-impact development, BMPs, for lots of development projects. We can require upgrades to the publicly owned treatment works facilities. We can have a goal of expanding water recycling at these POTWs and maybe other facilities. We can also have a goal to adopt partnership agreements. Well, this is great. These are lofty goals, but there's really no meat on here. Okay, so these are, remember, just examples. So I'm going to go, and here's where they tie in from there. So what does that really mean? What are some actions that we could do? And these are just ideas. They're not even something that we need to stay with, but these are something that I just wanted to put out there just to get your brains flowing on this. And these are targets and actions, and we can measure some progress. And so to enhance the basin plan, so what does that mean? Well, as you all know, amending our basin plan is not a short process. That takes months, sometimes years, sometimes many years. And so to do this right, if the board would like to enhance the basin plan for other prohibitions, regulations, dealing with the floodplains, wetlands, and critical recharge areas, we first need to identify all those. And you will hear later on today an excellent presentation about some of those tools that are really nifty. CRAM, the California Rapid Assessment Method, and EcoAtlas. So that will be coming up after my presentation, probably after your lunch. And then once we inventory, then it will probably take a couple years to put together some policies, some draft policies. And of course, we need to involve stakeholders and the public and all the agencies in this. And then once we gather all feedback, hone things down, then we can bring it back and adopt some of these. And of course, remember, the regional board is just the first step. Then it's got to go to state board, OAL, and depending on what it is, what type, then US EPA. So by no means a short process on this. And then a much quicker process would be to amend some general permits and put in some new requirements. That's that's a lot easier to do for the low impact development. So let me switch this over to that bin B, which is the management of resources and facilities. Now, there's quite a lot of stuff here. I'm not going to go into this detail. These are merely just ideas. Throw them out there, okay? In fact, I don't even want to focus on them because I'm going to go to the next slide, okay? So this is really where I want your input. And remember, I said I want your input on the process and not so much on the content. And that's why I just kind of blew by the content a little bit. So right now, it's summer 2015, and we're identifying. We're still in this part of identifying issues, goals, and actions. Now, I listed the next step for fall as internal planning. They're kind of one and the same, because what I meant by internal planning is that's having the board feedback on a subcommittee, one of those two, and us reaching out with our internal staff on planning, on fleshing out some of these actions and goals for you, and our internal staff also working with MCC, the internal roundtables, and there's other folks out there, okay, and the other regions, because we don't want to duplicate a lot of stuff. And as you saw, enclosures 2, 3, and 4, I put in some example resolutions that other boards had adopted, just to give you ideas about what's out there and what other boards have done. So really, we want to embark on this internal planning process to really come up with some goals and some measurable actions and targets and kind of a timeline, starting off with some issues. And to really do that, we have a lot of enthusiasm and great expertise in-house with our own staff, and we'd like to divide and conquer sort of on these sub-committees. So what I'm hoping to do is do this over the next, say, 4 or 5 months, in addition to reaching out to stakeholders, and we'll try to work with them. And then I plan to not come back every month like this, okay? But I plan to give the board monthly updates in the EO report. It's a much easier thing to do. Don't need to necessarily take up all the board's time, especially since the board members, I'm hoping, are going to want to participate on one or more of those subcommittees. So that is kind of where we're at with this strategy. There's more process. We've got a lot of work to do. We've got to roll up our sleeves. Great ideas from our staff that we want to really get our hands around. And also, we need to figure out how this extra work fits into the bigger picture of our triennial review, which we're coming in November to the board on, and how it fits in with all of our other work that we do. Those are really big questions that we need to talk about, and it's really not, you know, we can't solve it today here. So that's why I'm hoping to get your feedback on sort of our process rather than the content. So with that...
Well, why don't you stay at that slide? I think that's
stay at that slide. Okay.
Point slide. And I think from my perspective, you've done a really good job taking a very large issue and trying to put some structure to the process. I think my request would be sooner rather than later, and in conjunction with the internal working groups, that we engage the stakeholders. I mean, that instead of preparing stuff in a silo and saying, here's the great work we've done, we want you to bless it, I think it's important because many of the watersheds have NPDES working groups that have been established for years. Those are the entities that are going to have to deal with the low-impact development requirements, and maybe they already have some great ideas from the work that they have been doing for the last decade in this area. So I really would like to see us do it in partnership with our stakeholders rather than us do it and then invite them into the conversation. You're going to find a great deal of diversity in the region, north versus south, particularly as it comes down to the low-impact development. Stormwater in the southern part of the region is viewed as a tremendous resource that augments and recharges our groundwater, whereas in other areas like the Tahoe Basin, it's a concern as it may wash contaminants into the lake. So very, very diverse viewpoints of what I feel is a valuable resource. So let's tool up that as a stakeholder process, not just a staff process. But I think you've outlined some of the critical steps here that, and we do need to continue moving forward on this process, but I just wanted to interject those thoughts. Are there any other comments?
Just
a thought.
Yeah, I think, as we said, these stakeholder groups and meetings, I'd like to be a part of that. I know other board members certainly would want to participate in that capacity, north, south. There are issues in the Tahoe Basin that are different, as you say. Yes.
Okay. So what might work instead of, it might be including it as some of our board meeting discussions as workshops. As Mr. Jardine said, southern workshop and northern workshop, and let's start stimulating it and then go off and work with the stakeholder groups, as it works in. Any other comments? Dr. Horn.
I'm still formulating my thoughts, so I'm a little nervous about opening my mouth, but I do anyway. So this is really helpful. It's really helpful for you to have broken out the scope of the issues in the two different areas, and so I appreciate that this helps me sort of organize how to think about this, so thank you for that.
Oh, you're welcome.
I'm excited, and I'm also concerned that the schedule that you've outlined might be ambitious. So I'll just put that out there.
It was more ambitious yesterday. So
I'm a cure.
Yeah.
And then, okay, now it's going to sound like I'm bringing out the straw that breaks the camel's back, but I don't think so, really. So as I was thinking about this, it's like, okay, climate change is really important. But that's only, we're really kind of getting into strategic planning here. So climate change is an important driver for us to be keeping in mind as we think about the long-term trajectory for water quality in the Lahontan region. But it's not the only driver. So yeah, there's temperature growth, the increase, there's changes in how water comes into the area and how it leaves more by evaporation, that kind of thing. There's also population growth. That's an important driver that's going to be contributing to increase in nitrogen, maybe certainly sediment up in the northern. So I think we need to think about what are the drivers of change that are affecting water quality in the Lahontan region, and to think about this in a more holistic way. The other thing I think we need a placeholder for, or it's not a placeholder, we need to remind ourselves, we need to think about, yeah, these are the things we do within the Lahontan Board, but also we need to ask ourselves, is there something we would like to be able to do that we don't have authority for, that we need legislation for? And to kind of keep a running list of those things and be in discussion with the state board and other regional boards and Rob Eagle and to make sure that we have the tools that we need to be proactive in adapting and mitigating the effects of climate change. I think that's my my brain dump on this.
Mr. Pumphrey, any comments?
Well, if you combine items 2 and 3 on that slide, that adjusts the ambitiousness of the schedule a little bit, because it sort of pushes the idea of having these working groups back into the spring or so of next year. I really like the idea of the working groups. I think working groups are helpful in almost any situation. And Ms. Cox really changed my mind about the point at which you engage the stakeholders, which I think should be early as it could be. So my suggestion would be to identify some key working groups. I know you have 2 main categories, but those might be too big. And you might look at the idea that there might be some subgrouping of issues inside of those. And get involvement from board members. I'm sure that will be forthcoming. And start to get that process going. I think Dr. Horn raises a really good point in saying climate change is become a focus, but it's really a reminder more that it's another part of things that we need to think about. And in looking at the idea that we're going to have to incorporate this into the work plan, and we're going to have to incorporate this into what our priorities are and stuff, that the framing out the issues and framing out the work groups, you might want to take just a little higher altitude look at what those issues are beyond climate change. That, you know, the climate change is an important part of some other issue that we're dealing with on a regional basis. And then I don't know exactly how and when you'd be able to schedule these working group meetings. Thank God that's not my responsibility to figure out. But I think they're really valuable, and I think they should get a commitment of time on everybody's part that's significant enough to say, we spent a whole day talking about this, or whatever it was, or several days stretched over time, because this is really the climate change. This process is a way, it's an avenue into sort of really carefully examining all the things we're doing across the board. And so it can be integrated into some of these other reviews that we've got coming up. And it can maybe be a part of that and a broader conversation. Because even when we agendize these things, and here we're going to look at the annual review of something, and over here is the triennial review of another thing, and over here is some other review, it's really all the same package of stuff. But we can sometimes slip into not thinking of it as a whole package of stuff and separate items. So this might be an opportunity to sort of reintegrate our thinking about what we're up to.
Great comments.
Yeah, so following on what Mr. Pumphrey's just said, which I agree with, I want us to avoid delaying action by studying the question too much. So I would propose that we use an iterative approach. So we have this process going that you're outlining. That's running. At the same time, as we do the triennial review, as we do the integrated list review, whatever that's called, Carly, I apologize for labeling that. That we think about that climate change and the other triggers, population growth, come into the conversation, and that as you think about climate change in the context of the things that are on our annual work plan, that then feeds back into this process of our overall strategy for a strategic plan. I'm going to just start calling it a strategic plan.
That's Mr. Sandel or Mr. Jardine?
Just a quick observation. Rick and Ralph, I'm kind of part of an organization called RCRC, Regional Council of Rural Counties. And they have looked at this also, and it might be an excellent resource to see. Because you take in the planning aspect, the general plan of governmental agencies, if you're talking population growth, this goes right in with water usage. And we are at county updates our county general plan, which is basically a common Bible, a guidance document. We do that every 10 years, so I'm sure you're familiar with that process. If not, you may take a look at it. That may be something that may be out of our control, but we may need to bring that on to every county's radar screen, so to speak, or the city's radar screen.
So, anything you'd like to contribute?
Sort of. I was thinking that, you know, when it comes to identifying, I like the idea of involving the stakeholders. So, and the kinds of stakeholders that are identified specifically here are, you know, kind of the large players. But I was thinking that the issue of climate change actually gives us an entree to redirect our approaches to some of the stakeholders who might previously have been a little hostile to our very presence, like the ranchers, for example, where we could say, you know, look, this climate change thing is getting serious, as you probably observed in your day-to-day ranching activities, and we'd like your input and your help in this overarching study that we're doing to help modify our basin plans and our strategies and all that. You know, you have a unique perspective on all this. This could be a way to cozy up to a lot of people, but we wouldn't necessarily be getting that cozy with ordinarily. I think that's all I have.
Maybe we can reach out to some of these people through the earwaves and other people that we know are already making plans or, you know, and discussing this in the course of their own daily business, so we can get the benefit of seeing what they've come up with in their discussions early.
Great conversation. So we want to keep hearing this topic. We want to see
great ideas. You know, and sort of on that line, I specifically included as enclosure 4 on Bates page 9-35 through 9-38. The resolution from, or really a letter from Region 3's board about their whole vision, and that may be sort of a model, or there's some good ideas in there that you may want to use, because they've been operating under this sort of healthy. This vision of healthy watersheds since 2009. And it sounds somewhat analogous to what Dr. Horn and Mr. Pumphrey were talking about, wanting to do this sort of thing. Just threw that out there as something to look at as an idea. So I think the feedback I heard from you, really good, great ideas about involving the stakeholders sooner rather than later, and that actually was my intent. It just didn't work well on the slide, but that's okay. And so I think what I'll do is I'll go back sort of inside. We'll get, you know, with our folks inside to figure out more of this plan on reaching out and come up with some possible subcommittee ideas. That would work really well. Unless you have some ideas right now.
Well, no, I did have a thought. As you do that, instead of coming back with just the name of the working group, if you could include kind of who you think should be a part of that, so that we can get that process up and running as soon as possible and just add to it, as opposed to the board saying these are really good groups that go do that. I'd like to see who your thoughts about, you know, who's crucial to this process.
Well, and I think the list of stakeholders would be really crucial to each one of those groups.
Right, right.
And that's a big part of it. And then we could figure out on that what the outreach plan is with everybody and the workshops and timing and all that. Is that? I'm seeing head nods, so that's the direction I'm getting.
And with our region being so large and this topic being so critical and timely, I'd like to see conference calling ability incorporated in these stakeholder meetings so that it will not exclude those that wish to participate for distance, time, or whatever.
Okay.
Reason may serve to be an impediment.
Well, and side note, I kind of thought that was going to happen, and so worked with Eric Shea of our office and State Board and created a training on remote meetings through WebEx and stuff.
Great.
So we'll be giving that later this month to our Victorville office and South Lake Tahoe office. You're welcome to join us if you want to. Of course, via WebEx if you want.
send it out.
I will gladly send that out.
Yeah,
excellent. Okay.
Very good discussion. Timely conclusion, as it is now 11:37.
Yeah, I'm sorry to run over. I'm really,
all right.
It's Dr. Orrin's fault. She's saying.
The board will move on now to item 13.0, discussion of personnel matters,
Thanks,
and
sir.
We will